Dawn welcomes Craig Cooper to the studio to talk with us about overflowing mercies. What could that possibly mean? Any ideas? Well, call or text anytime this hour, 800-555-7898.
Craig Allen Cooper in the house.
Hello, hello.
So many things, so many descriptors to introduce you. You're a pastor. You're a founding pastor of a church here in Middle Tennessee, but you stepped out of that role. You're with Moody Publishers. You're a published author. You're a speaker. Like all the things. Which hat that God has called you to wear is Craig Allen Cooper's favorite?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question, Dawn. Yeah, I'm serving now as the interim pastor for preaching and teaching at 12 Church in Winchester, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's a bit of a haul, friend.
Yeah, but I love it so much. I love it so much. And so with them on Sunday morning and just God at work. And it's wonderful to see. I love people. I love the Lord and I love people. And so when you combine those two things together and you have the opportunity just to be with folks and see what God's doing in their lives and encourage them anyway, that's really my favorite. So
you do love people. And that is so evident. You even wrote a book with Walker Hayes. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty amazing because you were challenging us to kind of open up our hearts, our homes, and welcome people in. And that's how you met Walker Hayes. Now, just if you're not a country music fan, Walker Hayes doesn't ring a bell with you. He is a country music guy and did not know the Lord until he met Craig Cooper. Mm. And that story is pretty legendary if you've heard it.
Yeah, and if people don't know who Walker is, they probably know the song Fancy Like. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night.
I memorized every word of that song. I don't know if I should be proud of myself or not, but I do know that one.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
So, yeah, it was really kind of the Lord. I feel like God just smiled all over both of our families when he had us run into each other. And it became a fast friendship. It broke down a lot of walls, mm-hmm. really served my soul in huge ways. Just God helped me to see that he was with me, that he was for me. And there was a time when I was so discouraged. I was walking downtown Franklin and I was praying and I was saying, Lord, please help me see and know that you have me where you want me. I try to encourage other people. God, I really need you to encourage me right now. And I was bawling my eyes out. I took a date with my wife that night, and I was just telling her about how discouraged I was. We were about 5 years into the church plant.
Wow.
And I was feeling like barren, you know, where's the fruit, all this kind of stuff. And that night, Walker sent us a song, and the song's called Craig. And it was about my relationship with him, but most importantly, is about my relationship with Jesus.
Wow.
And it just floored me because he was an atheist when he sent me the song. And I just knew God had me right where he wanted me. And then the rest unfolded and in our friendship, and it's just continued to this day. It's been amazing. Now he's come to faith in Christ, and he shares his testimony in all of his concerts. I mean, you know, there may be at the Houston Rodeo, there's 70,000 people there, and he's you know, packed out stadium and
sharing the gospel.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing.
You guys together wrote Glad You Are Here.
Yes.
And that tells the whole story of how you met Walker and how the Lord just knit your hearts together and how he came to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
What you're sharing now. I'm stunned. I don't know why. I'm stunned. When God, in all of his goodness, hears our heart's cry and we say, Lord, I just need to know. I'm where you want me to be. I'm doing what you want me to be doing. Mm. And then he answers it in such profound and kind ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's why you've written the new book called Overflowing Mercies. It's 100 Meditations on the Tender Heart of God. But can I tell you that we get a lot of devotionals around here?
A lot of devotionals. It's flooded the market.
Everybody writes devotionals, which I understand why.
Yeah.
It keeps concise thoughts. It's almost like journal entries, and you're pouring your heart out and you want to share with others. This one I love, and they all have merit. Don't get me wrong, but this one I love because you truly are turning to the heart of God, to the person of God, helping us look at who he is not just how I navigate another day.
Yes, 100%. Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad you like it. You know, this has really been born out of my own personal communion with the Lord and those moments of just going, God, please show me your heart for me. And he really has opened that. I have a ton of tear-stained journals over, you know, two decades of doing really business with the Lord, of just hearing from him and then taking that. That's what was the fodder that actually ended up becoming. I took a retreat to South Florida and brought 20 years of journals and just went through all of them and then pulled out ones where God had really ministered to me. And I used that as the opportunity to be able to write Overflowing Mercy. So in Glad You're Here, people have said, I see the hands and feet of Jesus at work. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Well, I want them to feel his heart. And so that's what Overflowing Mercies is. So if you see the hands and feet of Jesus through Glad You're Here, here's his heart for us.
The heart for you, the heart for me as we walk with him. And Craig Allen Cooper is sharing that with us today. The book is called Overflowing Mercies. It's 100 meditations on the tender heart of God. If you want to know more about the heart of God, this is going to help you look at the scriptures that lead and guide us and give you some insight as to how he's led and guided Craig. More of that coming up on Moody Radio. I do believe Craig Allen Cooper would make a great radio host. I mean, when publishing is done, okay. When you are so done with Moody Publishing, then you can come over to radio.
I mean, I always like to have a backup.
But you have to get up early. You have to get up early.
Yeah, I can go to bed early.
Okay, there you go. It does help. I will tell you, it does help. We were just talking about your new book called Overflowing Mercies because you want us to see and understand the tender heart of God. And you were telling a story. You were kind of at your end. Mm. As far as just wanting to know, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? You had planted a church 5 years in, and it felt really dry. Mm. Now, I was challenged by a devotional this morning that said, believers should not go through dry seasons because we are full of living water, the artesian well, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we will take, like Jeremiah 2 talks about the broken cisterns, like the people were not trusting the Lord. And I've been thinking about that all morning because I do know that I've had dry seasons in my life. Yeah. And you're a pastor, you're a believer. Mm-hmm. How do we reconcile the fact that, yes, in his mercy, he is an artesian well. Like, his mercies never run dry. Mm-hmm. And yet, what's happening in our lives, and I know you can't specify, but what do we need to be aware of if we're not experiencing the mercies of God because we just feel dry.
Mm, yeah. Well, I wish I could say, Don, that I've never walked through a dry season. I've been walking with the Lord since 95, and I have had dry seasons.
Agreed. Yeah. And right there with you.
And ones where, you know, you just I've had moments where I've struggled with deep discouragement, sometimes despair, and I even had a 4-year period that was marked by increasing depression. Mm-hmm. And I'm out of that now by the grace of God, and I'm so thankful. But there was a sense where the darkness would not lift and kept going back to the Lord. And really, these are tied together there because I feel like God, in his kindness and his mercy, you know, he leads us through all kinds of different terrain. You know, when you look in the Psalms, I mean, you'll see there's different types of terrain that God will take us through. And even just read Psalm 23. But I think in those moments, you know, of just being honest with the Lord, I love how Scripture says that Enoch walked with God, and you know, he was commended as one who pleased God. He walked with God. So that often for me, that's where I'll just go out on a long walk and pour my heart out to the Lord. You know, whether that is filled with, you know, amazing joy and beautiful things, or whether it feels like a neglected milk carton and it's nasty. You know what I mean? I'll pour that out because Scripture says to do that. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to the Lord, for God is our refuge. So I think trust in God is reflected by talking to God and giving Him everything that we have, even in those moments where we feel dry or those moments where we feel like a neglected milk carton. It's nasty. It doesn't smell good. It wouldn't taste good. But He welcomes us to come and to pour that out before Him as an offering. And I think in doing that, He can change our perspective. He can change our hearts. He can change our circumstances and all of it. But for the one who's listening, who's like, I feel like I'm in that place right now, I would say the Lord welcomes you to talk to Him about it like you would a best friend, mm-hmm. or a counselor or a therapist. Just go pour it out. Just, you know, maybe after this program, turn the radio off and just in your car, pour it out. Just tell Him what you're dealing with. And yeah, that's part of trusting Him.
Perspective. Mm-hmm. I am so glad you brought that up. Perspective from His point of view is getting into the Word. Mm-hmm. So pouring out our hearts to Him is so very important. Going back to what the Word tells us about Him is also massively important. Mm-hmm. And as a pastor, I know you've seen or heard the statistic that we have a 4% biblical literacy rate in this country.
Wow.
4%. Mm. So then I think about when we're responding to a situation, when we're responding to even our own hearts and minds, if we have a 4% biblical literacy rate, we may not be responding with a biblical perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we don't know it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're looking at mercies, whether it took 17 years or not, to go back and look. Mm-hmm. And I know you share even stories in this. One of them that so caught my attention because of the current season in my own life is the one that you talk about being dazed and confused.
Oh, yeah.
When you kind of wake up, that was yesterday morning for me. I'm like, what is going on today? Like, mm-hmm. do we even know? Lord, what's the direction? And in His kindness, He meets us, and you're quoting Psalm 56 here, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You." Can you share a little bit about this story?
Yeah.
Because you were at one of my favorite places. That would be the beach. Okay, wait, I see now. I have time constraints. I'm getting the signal. Let's come back to that story. Yep. We're my favorite place, the beach, not we, but you were there and with your family, and you have a story that's going to help us understand how to look at the dazed and confused days that come into our lives. Yo. And Chill is out today, but Craig Allen Cooper is in as we're talking about your new book, and it's Overflowing Mercies. We're looking at the days, Craig, that it's just life. Life is knocking you to the ground. Kind of, I mean, there are times that it really knocks you over like a wave. Mm-hmm. And you tell a story in this book about your son for the first time getting really taken out by a wave and how that relates to our lives.
Yeah. So the meditations on Psalm 56, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You." And I was thinking about when we went on a family vacation together. And we've gone to Fenwick Island, Delaware. If a lot of people don't know where it is, but it's near Ocean City, Maryland. My wife is a Marylander, you know, and we've gone there for a number of years because had a place that was connected with the family. And I remember when Joshua was 9, you know, when we first got out there, he just rushed into the ocean, like just rushed into it, no thought for anything, and. He was having a blast, you know, laughing and all that kind of stuff, and just dove in head first, tacked the sea with full abandon, and he only wore a life jacket because his parents made him. And then it happened. He got absolutely rolled by this massive wave, and it wasn't one of those like over under through types of waves. It was like a just crush you. And we went in, we grabbed him, pulled him out. And, you know, this unfamiliar emotion kind of hit his soul. You could see, and it was fear, mm-hmm. and it was new to him. And then he was really timid, you know, about going back in, and he was afraid. And And one of those days, you know, as he was confined to the shore, I was talking with him about Psalm 56. You know, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And I was telling him, hey, bud, your daddy struggles with fear too. It looks different in different circumstances, but I shared some of, you know, where I'm afraid. And what do you do? Because I often feel like I approach life like Joshua did the ocean. You know, you go after your dreams, you go after everything with full abandon, and then you get rolled. And once that happens, you're a little less, you know, ambitious, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid to go in the water.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you hold your dreams to yourself and you kind of pull back a little bit. And so I was talking with him about what David did. I love what David does in this psalm. You know, he admits his fear. When I'm afraid. So he's not saying I'm not afraid, or he's not like, he doesn't have a no fear sticker on his truck. You know, he's saying when I'm afraid, so he admits that. And then he goes to God with all of his fear. I put my trust in the Lord and in God, you know, I trust. And so I walked him through that, and then it was really cool. We prayed, and then he got back out into the ocean with a little bit more, appreciation for the waves and the God who controls the waves.
Yeah. Well, when you think after writing this book and spending time with the Lord over 17 years, and you, as far as your journaling goes and things, didn't you use the figure 17?
Oh, did I? I may have. Yeah. So, I took 2 decades of... Okay. Of devotion or of journals with me, so it may have definitely been 17.
I could have made that up, yeah. Craig. I could have totally made up that figure. No. It's been over a series of years that the Lord is continuing to work in your life and transforming you. My wonder is, after coming up with the book Overflowing Mercies and sharing this with us as a reading audience, what is it about God's mercies that has transformed you so that you realize, okay, when that wave comes and I'm dazed and I'm standing up and trying to get my wits about me again, that default, we're going to turn knowing that God is merciful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we think that the Lord is, you know, agitated with us, irritated with us, against us in any way, we're not going to approach him. You know, we're not going to come to him. But if you have in your heart of hearts, you know, he is for me. He's merciful. He understands. He's gracious. He's compassionate. I love how the Lord revealed himself. The Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. And that's how God reveals himself. So if we know that that's his heart for us, it's going to be easier for us to approach him through faith in Christ and know that we're going to be received, we're going to be welcomed, we're not going to be shunned, we're not going to be pushed out. And so that's really it. It's just like, you know, the Lord does not send us to voicemail.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He doesn't ignore our call. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to turn this one down a notch. It's not like, it's funny, I have 2 humongous Bernedoodles, and every night my wife fills this bowl of water and sets it by the bed, and they just lap it up. And that, for some reason, that sound is irritating to me.
I can understand.
I turn on my little sound machine on my phone and put it up to my ear, and I've just gotten into that rhythm. And I thought, you know, God is not like that with us. He doesn't. Mm. He doesn't try to tune us out. He doesn't. He doesn't turn us down. He doesn't send us voicemail. He doesn't ignore us. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear your voice, and that's because of his mercy.
Yeah. What a beautiful,
tender mercy.
Beautiful reminder. Tender mercy. And if that's not our perspective, the good news is it can be, as we study God's word, as we let his spirit work in us and then ultimately work through us, which is what you're hearing the results of. Craig Allen Cooper sharing with us Overflowing Mercies. And we'll get this connected to our Facebook page, Don and Steve in the Morning, but more with Craig about God's mercies coming up. What do you know about the Lord when it comes to his mercy? Do you realize that his mercies are overflowing? As we talk to Craig Allen Cooper, his latest devotional book, Overflowing Mercies, telling us about the tender heart of God. Now, I know that there are brand new believers listening this morning, Craig, and then there are folks that have walked with the Lord for a long time. What would you love to share from your heart about the heart of God and his mercy?
Oh, yeah. Well, first, if you're a new believer here and you're listening, amazing. I'm just rejoicing with you. I love where, you know, it says that the angels rejoice in heaven over one person who comes to the Lord. So that's amazing. So rejoicing with you. And then I feel like I'm an older believer, you know, now. So 1995. So what is that? 95, 05, 15.
30 years?
Yes. I'm coming up on 30 years. Coming up on 30 years. And so I think I'll start with the older believers first. I think, you know, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. And you can't give a cup of cold water to somebody without Jesus taking note of that and planning how he's going to reward you for it. I mean, he says that, which is amazing. So the Lord is at work through you in your steadfastness and in your example and in all of the everything that you're doing to serve in his name. I love in Hebrews 6:10, I believe, that God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the service that you've given to his people in his name. And so I would just encourage the older believers, like, hey, glory is coming, and keep on keeping on and don't grow weary in doing good. The young believers, I'd say, hey, just stoke the whole church with your passion. The whole church, capital C. And so share your zeal, share your love for the Lord, and it serves all of us. And for both of them, it's word, getting in the word, breathe in the word, and then prayer, breathe out prayer. It's funny how, you know, consultants get paid millions and millions of dollars to tell people the obvious, because the obvious is often neglected. You know, John Piper says that, when I don't desire God. And that's it. It's the word is like food for our soul. Breath for our lungs, and then prayer, we breathe it back to God, and it just, whether you're a young believer or an older believer, it's really, it's the long obedience in the same direction. That's Eugene Peterson.
It's so funny, because we talk about this biblical literacy thing, and it's not an indictment necessarily. It could be received that way. It's an invitation.
It is.
To get into the word and realize that we don't have to try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We don't have to find this strength from within. We do need to learn what it means to let God's strength be our next step, be how we interact with people. And when you wrote Glad You're Here, I can only imagine what God wired into you to be hospitable, to say, no, like, this is good. I want you. Because our prevailing theory right now, our prevailing attitude, is it's too people-y out there. I can't be bothered by that, because oftentimes people will get in my way of getting things done I want to get done today. And they're inconvenient, and it's messy to have relationships. But God invited us into hospitality.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So, and I think there's a huge difference between table connection and tablet connection.
Come on.
And I think what's happening a lot is social media and all of this stuff is we have so much noise going on that we end up neglecting the very thing that will be the most helpful for us in advancing the gospel, or even strengthen our own soul, strengthen the church. And so table connection is eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul, around a table of grace and mercy. Acceptance that's not based on your achievements or your accolades or your performance or anything like that, but just because you are a person created in the image of God. And so I would encourage leaning more into that table connection versus the tablet.
So many things that will encourage you through Overflowing Mercies. It's a 100 meditations on the tender heart of God. As we've as we have been talking to Craig Alan Cooper, connecting you with this on our Facebook page. It is Dawn and Steve in the morning.